Welcome to this message brought to you by LiveToHonorGod.com. Hello, I'm Tim. I'm here with TJ, and we're talking about spiritual warfare again, and we've got a little more to talk about. A couple of verses that I wanted to mention related to spiritual warfare. The first one is 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. It says, "Be self-controlled, alert, and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings." To me, that I think that's part of the understanding that we have to know what it is we're to do.
Sure.
We are to resist Satan. He is the deceiver. The Bible says that he's the father of all lies, and he's cunning and crafty, and he will do anything he can to pull us down, to drag us down away from God's purpose.
Sure.
Now, I believe that once we're saved, he can't drag us out of salvation. But he can certainly drag us away from God's purpose
right.
in our life. And I know that I have allowed him to do that on many occasions. Been distracted by things that took my focus off of God's will. Or I was so distracted in life, the different circumstances and things going on, that I couldn't even discern God's will. Because I didn't have that clear focus and clear connection with God to be able to hear the message. And so I think there's a lot of things. So he says, be self-controlled and alert. Self-control, what I have learned about this is that I cannot be self-controlled without God helping me. I just don't have the ability. I'm a weak, frail, minded human being, and I don't mean that to be cutting myself down, but I think that if I'm thinking from my point of view, from Tim only, then I get distracted easily. I am prone to sin. I'm prone to accept temptation and just run with it. That's me. That's the way I am. Without God's intervening and God helping me, then I will step and move in the direction I don't need to go. And so when this passage says, be self-controlled, the first thing that I think about is to try to control my thoughts, my actions, my behaviors. And what I've learned over the years is, that means I have to be connected with God, because I cannot do that on my own. I've tried over and over again, and it's just been disastrous because I'm not able to do it.
Sure.
And I think another passage is Galatians 5, I think it's 22 and 23, which is the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
That's what I was thinking of.
Yeah.
Just sitting here listening to you talk about self-control and the passage in 1 Peter, that's what was resonating through my
right.
mind the whole entire time.
Right.
I was thinking of the fact that, in all actuality, self-control is a fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
And it's something that I think that grows, that God grows and develops into our lives as believers.
Right, exactly.
There are times when people exercise control, and I understand that, and sometimes that's an act of the will, but ultimately self-control, where you are bringing yourself under subjection, that is something that is really, really an act and a fruit of the Spirit,
mm-hmm.
to be able to, subject yourself to that the control of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. And I think that I've come to a new understanding of this in the last couple of years, because I used to try to make myself controlled. I used to try to produce all of these fruits, but they're not called in the Bible the fruits of the Tim.
Right.
You know, they're called the fruits of the Spirit.
Right.
I used to try to love people in my power, to, you know, to have the patience of Tim, you know, which isn't that patient, right, by the way, and to have, you know, all of these fruits. I used to try to manufacture them within my abilities and my power.
Right.
But what I've come to learn is that they are the fruit of the Spirit, like you said.
Sure.
And they are generated by the Spirit in me. It doesn't happen through Tim's power. It happens through the Spirit of God working in me and through me, changing me, like Romans 12 says, renewing my mind so that I think godly thoughts, renewing my actions so that they're more in line with what God would want me to do, my attitudes, love, joy, all of those things, peace, all of those things that are the fruits of the Spirit, they are to be things that God would want me to do. And I cannot do those myself. I have to have God working in me to do it. So I think that's the thing that I realize. And I was thinking about the passage, you know, I just looked that up a minute ago, about the passage, Exodus 17, 10 through 16, where Moses was up on the mountain with Aaron and
right,
her, and Joshua was fighting the battle. And as long as Moses' hands were up in the air, then Joshua, the battle was being won by Joshua and the Israelite,
right,
forces. But the Bible clearly says that God was winning the battle through them. And but when Moses' arms got tired and he lowered his hands, then they started to lose. And what came to my mind, the reason I thought of that is that really, we don't fight the battles. They are God fought in our lives. And see, I've been doing it all wrong for a lot of years. I've been trying to do it in my power, struggling, you know, trying to make it happen, you know,
right,
wondering why I'm so weak and unable to do it, why I sin so much, and why I have these thoughts that plague me, and just on and on,
sure,
this frustration and feeling like that I'm a failure. And it's because I was not allowing God to do the defending of Tim.
Right.
I was not allowing God to fight the battle through me. I was pushing God back and saying, I got this. Well, I didn't have it. You know,
sure,
I was losing the battle and pushing God away, trying to do it myself.
Right.
So I think that's the key for me with spiritual warfare is, I've come to realize that God is the one who fights for us.
Sure.
And he does it through us. And he does it through the fruit of the Spirit being activated. You know, when I have joy in my heart, then I don't have those other negative thoughts as often. I mean, they still sometimes jump up there and you have to, you know, like Romans or 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5, we talked about
captive.
Take all thoughts captive.
Sure.
You know, every once in a while those thoughts will pop up there and you have to do something about it. But when the spirit of, when the joy that is the fruit of the Spirit of God is growing in my life, then I don't have those negative thoughts near as much. Because that's just a part of it flowing through me by the Spirit of God working in me. And that's just one example, you know, the self-control. I am not able to control my own thoughts, attitudes, actions. I've tried it too many times and failed.
Right.
But I believe that this is the Spirit of God working and fighting in us and through us for that victory.
Sure.
So I think that's what I have to look at whenever I think of the passage, be alert and self-controlled. The self-control has to be me relying on God to help me with that. I can't do it on my own. And the alert, I think, we just have to be aware of what Satan is able to do. And I've heard this many times, and I've said it myself, we don't want to glorify Satan and raise him up and lift him up, but he is powerful.
Sure.
And we need to be aware of that. I think one of the most powerful things that he does is that he is able to camouflage himself, and he's working in our lives and we don't even know it.
Sure.
He's able to disguise himself in such a way that we are embracing what he brings in our lives, and we've been duped. We've been we've been tricked, and he's very crafty at that.
Well, there's a passage in the Bible that talks about Satan masquerades around as an angel of light. And yeah. So no wonders that these workers of iniquity, these false teachers, also parade around and masquerade around, as workers of light.
Right. And he's very, very skilled at doing that. And so that's been a problem. We have to be aware of that, and we have to use another spiritual gift, that is discernment of the of spirits, because we have to be able to pray and seek God's understanding and wisdom in those situations, and think, is this God? Is this what God would have me to do? And the bottom line is this: one of the things I've learned, and I know I've shared this before, is that when I feel anxiety and worry and nervous, all of those things about a situation, then I know immediately now, it's taken me a while to get to this, but I know immediately that is not God.
Right.
That is not God. He is a God of order and a God of peace.
Sure.
And so if I have two choices, and one of the choices causes me to feel this anxiety building inside and stress building up and worry, then I know that that's not the way God would want me to go. But when I feel the peace of God in a situation, then that is the direction that I need to be moving in order to do God's will. And I like, just on the heels of that discussion about peace, is that the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And shalom has such a richer, deeper meaning than our word translated,
right,
which is peace. Shalom means what we translate it, but it also means completeness, wholeness, fullness, that we don't have that understanding of the word peace.
Right.
And so when the fruit of the Spirit says love, joy, peace, then that is a completeness. And that's something that we can rest in and feel comfortable with,
sure,
thinking that through God we have a completeness that we don't have without God.
Right.
And that completeness helps us to not need the things of the world that would distract us.
Definitely.
And would tempt us to do things other than what God would have us do. So I think all of this kind of combines to be part of what I think about when I think of this passage. Be alert and be self-controlled.
So I think also, there's an certain empowerment that occurs in the life of a believer when you're seeing your life resonate the fruit of self-control. You're consciously aware of the Holy Spirit's work, actively working inside of you, creating and producing the fruit of the Spirit of self-control.
Yeah.
And you see that fruit being produced in your life actively by the Holy Spirit, there's definitely a certain level of empowerment that provides in your life. And I think that's why he starts out with be self-controlled, because he understands the power that in that one word, be self-controlled. Wow, if you can, move into a place with God where you're allowing the fruit of self-control to be displayed in your life on a daily basis, then you're going to be empowered to be ready, and not to be like you're talking about, not you being in control, but being self-controlled and allowing God to be in control. And so when these things happen that may be diabolic or, the enemy coming at you, you've got that fruit already being produced there, and you're not going to, step in and begin to, do something that's out of order, probably,
right,
or that you later regret, because, God is there creating those fruits and empowering you to resist and to, the Bible says that we're not ignorant of the devices of the schemes. Some translations say, devices, schemes. The one translation says that I think the wiles of the devil.
Right.
We're not ignorant of the schemes and the devices of the enemy. And if you have the Holy Spirit empowering you to be self-controlled and alert, you're not going to be ignorant of what's going on in the spirit around you and of the attack, of the enemy. And I think you're going to be more able to resist. Because that's what he eventually says, resist him and he'll flee from you.
Right.
So these things empower us to resist.
Exactly. And I think that's where I've struggled a lot over the years. I tried to resist in Tim's power, but Tim wasn't strong enough.
That only makes it worse when we do that, I think. Right. It's like you get more entangled.
Yeah.
It's like a bug flying into a spider web.
Right.
If you've ever watched that phenomenon.
Yeah.
The more the bug struggles, the more trapped it becomes, until here comes the spider and bam.
Right.
They've gotten it.
Yeah.
So
that's a perfect illustration, I think.
Yeah, I think the more we struggle in our own ability, the more stuck we actually become. And I know certainly in counseling and in psychology, even in Christian counseling, that's certainly there's certainly truth to that, to that dynamic. I'm going to lose, some people say, well, I need to stop doing this. I'm going to lose weight in this new year's. And the more they focus on it, the less that they actually do it, And so in our own will, but especially in spiritual warfare, I'm going to stop, struggling with this X, Y, or Z, fill in the blank, whatever. And the reality is the more we purposely, consciously attempt not to do it, it seems like the more you end up doing it.
Yeah.
And so we become aware of that incredible need for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit to give us self-control, to allow him to fight the battle for us and not struggle in that sense, but, practice and exercise the fruit of the Spirit. And then it's as if God releases us from the snare, and prevents us from flying into the spider web in the first place.
Yeah.
That's the ultimate goal, the fruit of the Spirit's being produced in your life. You're not ignorant of these devices. You're aware that that's there, and God empowers you to live a life free from those traps.
Right. So I think that's exactly what I wanted to talk about today, that we have to allow God to defend us. We have to allow God to fight for us. Now, he'll use us in that battle, just like he used Joshua and the Israelite army. But it was God, and it clearly says it was God winning the battle for them. And I think that that's what we have to do, because we're not able to do it. We're not equipped to come against Satan alone without God. But the Bible also says that with God, we have the victory.
Right.
And so we do have ability to do this as God enables us and fights through us. And so then the last thing that I think we need to talk about is the difficulty of doing that. We are so used to doing it for ourselves. Our society trains us to be self-sufficient, you know.
Can-do attitude.
Right. You have to do it for yourself. Don't allow anyone else, you know. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps. You know, all those phrases. I remember seeing a young child in one of the stores, maybe Walmart or one of those stores, and this child couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 years old, a boy, and he was crying, throwing a fit about something, and the mother was raising her voice a little bit and said, you know, act like a man, you know, grow up, be a kid, stop. I forget the exact words she was saying, but that message of, you know, you just got to stop, you got to be strong, you know. And I'm sitting here thinking, she is training him. And I know things were said like that to me too. I don't have a boy, so I didn't tell my boy that, but I probably have said things like that to my daughter.
Right.
But that's our society, that you just have to do it yourself, pick yourself up, stop crying, don't be a baby. You know, we just have that attitude. And I think the opposite is true. Not that we just wallow in our, you like that wallow in our sure. self-pity. But we have to submit to God. There's this paradox here of if I humble myself and allow God to work in me, then I'll be stronger. If I let go of my strength,
right.
then I will end up being stronger through God's power working through me and in me.
It really ends up being a battle of the wills.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my will versus God's will.
Right.
And there's a spiritual war right there in mm-hmm. and of itself, a little side war for
yeah.
you. You know, and we have to come to that place where our confidence is not self-confidence, but mm-hmm. I think we as Christians, we develop Christ confidence.
Yes.
Our exactly. confidence is centered around the person and work of Jesus Christ
right.
and what he's done for us, and how through that work we're empowered as believers through the Holy Spirit
mm-hmm.
to be fruitful and to live a life that pleases God. It's Christ's confidence,
yeah.
you know, in us that
exactly.
that empowers us to win the battle, that empowers us to be God's people and to be producing this, not only the fruit of self-control, but all the other fruits of the Holy
yeah.
Spirit that should be a byproduct
mm-hmm.
of God being in control of my life and of that Christ confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And the more God begins to produce that fruit, the more confidence that you develop in Christ, and you just become so confident. But some people look at that and they can mistakenly think, you know, well, wow, you know, what? Why does he think he's all that? But, you know, there are people that have this, that aura about them that they're very confident in Christ.
Yeah.
They have that Christ confidence, and they do exploits. They do great things for God. But,
yeah.
you know, it's really because they understand the difference, and they're operating in that confidence that
yeah.
God has provided.
Exactly.
I think it's important, if, especially once you start talking about spiritual warfare, if you don't have this Christ-centered confidence empowered by the Holy Spirit,
right.
and the fruit of the Spirit being manifested in your life, and you're going to try to step into this this arena, this spiritual arena, you know, you're going to end up getting hurt.
Right.
So.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's what I wanted to talk about today. I think we covered it pretty well.
Great.
I think that's a good discussion. You've been listening to a message brought to you by LiveToHonorGod.com.